from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, be gracious to us now that the words of these sinful lips and the meditation of all our hearts may in fact be pleasing in your sight. Lord, you are our rock, you are our Redeemer, and in all our ways we would acknowledge you. Please, Lord, help us now, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're looking, this is still the summer series. Yes, it is. Not quite summer now, but the fruitful gospel is what we are looking at. We're considering those well-known words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And we have one more to go, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. But tonight, gentleness, the fruit of gentleness. And I want us to look at three things to consider as we look at this word gentleness together. First, strength. Second, progress. Third, Christ-likeness. So first, strength. Second, progress, or progress, whichever you prefer. Christ-likeness, third. But first of all, this point. The fruit of gentleness is a mark of real spiritual strength. The fruit of gentleness is a mark of real spiritual strength. Now, as we've been going through this, how we've been noticing that all of these fruit, in one way or another, are hard. What I mean by hard, of course, is challenging. What I mean by challenging is I'm not very good at them. I need to work real hard on each of these things. But all of these fruit have exhibited in different ways difficulties and hardships. There's a few of them that are particularly stood out because our culture doesn't lend itself to helping us like these things. You know, our culture sings about love and it sings about peace, but it doesn't like patience too much. And it certainly doesn't like gentleness. Gentleness or meekness, those two things are synonymous in the Bible. And we'll see that as we go along there. But gentleness and meekness are perceived as synonymous with weakness, right? The gentle person is a spineless person. So gentleness is a sissy quality. We could put it that way, right? Gentleness is for sissies. Let's just say it, right? We all think it, so let's just get it out there and let's deal with this thing. When the Bible uses the word gentle, right, and there's a range of words, and they're all synonymous, interchangeable. There's meek, there's gentle, There's meekness and gentleness. When the Bible uses those words, it uses it in a fundamentally different way from the way the culture around us use those kinds of words. For instance, the word meek, the word gentle, it's used of a strong, a powerful, wild animal, like a horse, a stallion, that has been well trained and is now therefore gentle, meek. That word is used in exactly the same way. You see, so therefore, in the Bible, the word meek or gentle is not weakness or spinelessness. Biblical gentleness is something only the strong and only the well-trained are able to do. And when they do it, God's glory shines forth through them and by them. Well, let me give you an illustration. I have a friend, actually you know him. He's been here and preached from this pulpit. My friend has a German shepherd. The dog's called Rocky. He wanted to call it Rambo, but his wife wouldn't let it get away with that. So they got Rocky instead. Now, if you had a mental image of a German shepherd, right? Snarly, fierce, mean, you know, looking at you, come here, I want to chew your leg off, you know, that kind of look. That's this dog. If you try to get in the house or you try to get in the yard, you know, this dog, Rocky, would not be gentle. He barks first, bites first, you know, lunges at you first and asks questions afterwards. Actually, he doesn't bother with any questions. He just chews. He just bites. That's what he does. Right. So here's the thing. But in the house, Rocky, right, the family's at dinner, and the dog is sat at a discreet distance, you know, he's got his best face on, and partway through the dinner, Mama, mark you, says, "Rocky, come." The dog, like a flash, comes over to the table, sits, and she says, "Rocky, gentle." One word, command, gentle. The piece, the scrap, right? The dog takes off very, very carefully, very, very gently, takes the piece of scrap off and eats it. And actually, the party trick of the home, this is disgusting if you ask me, but she can put a scrap in her teeth and the dog will take it out from her teeth very, very gently. This is the point. I mean, that dog is a powerful dog. But that dog has been well trained to be gentle, to be responsive, to be obedient to his master's voice. That's the way the Bible uses the word gentleness. If you have that image in your mind, that's the force behind this word gentleness. And beloved, as you start to look at this, and I've been looking at this for a long time, when you start to look for this word gentle and meek and gentleness, it's all over the place in the Bible. It isn't something that just happens occasionally. Let me ask you this question. Do you know the first person in the Bible to be described by this quality? You have to turn all the way back to the beginning of the Bible and to Numbers. To Numbers chapter 12. And it's an incident where Miriam and Aaron are a little ticked off with this guy Moses, that Moses is getting all the kudos and he's getting all the press and all the attention, and they think that they should get some too. But then this word comes up, verse 3. This is the first occasion when this description is used of somebody. Verse 3 says this: "Now the man Moses was very meek, very gentle, more than all people who are on the face of the earth." Now you understand this. You see, Moses, you would not think, right? Remember Charlton Heston with his fierce face on doing all the things that he... You wouldn't equate Moses with a weak man or a spineless man. Any of those things. I mean, you can't have led a rabble like that for 40 years and be spineless and weak. And we know from his history. from the beginning of his history that he wasn't a meek and gentle man. He did not come by this naturally. He was an angry dude. Right, he defended a Hebrew, but in anger he killed an Egyptian. So you have to ask sort of questions. So how did this kind of man who was what he was when he was a youngster, become the man of Numbers 12? You have to say that at least 40 years in the wilderness of Midian, God training that man as he looked after sheep. That was the kind of things that God, you see, far removed from the palaces of Egypt. That's where God changes that man Moses' heart and makes him famous for gentleness. Now, there's one other thing that I want us to think about with reference to Moses, and that is to ask this question. Where do we see this gentleness in Moses? But I think it's in a very interesting place. Do you remember the visit of Jethro, his father-in-law? And as Jethro comes among the Israelites, he sees Moses, right? Every day he sat in the tent and the people are coming to him, right? It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. He gets up out of his bed, washes his face, and he's got a line 100 thick out of the front door of his tent. And he's visiting him, and he's there 6 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, seeing people again and again and again. And Jethro says, you can't do that. So let's set out these people and they'll look after them, and you just get the really, really difficult cases, right? So Jethro gives him those organizational advice, and things are smoother and better. But this is the thing I want you to take notice of. Why? What made all those people line up to see Moses? What would they line up for? I think it's this quality, not just that Moses was a leader, not just that he was a spokesman for God, but it was this quality of gentleness, because the hallmark of gentleness is this, that people can come to such a person, to a truly gentle man, can come to a person like that and unburden their heart and know, first of all, that they'll be safe when they do it, and that when they do it, they'll receive wise direction and wise counsel for their lives. And that's it with Moses. That really definitely, if you read the life of Moses, it isn't Charlton Heston doing his manly thing. Moses led those people for 40 years. Yes, he was firm. Yes, he was a leader. But he was also a man with patience and gentleness with the people of God. So here's this paradox, isn't it? This is certainly a paradox in terms of our world. That the true greatness of Moses was a combination of great strength and marvelous gentleness. I think we see this in the Apostle Paul as well. I think most of us would think, as we think about the apostle, we would latch on to things like strength or authority, almost a fierceness about him, like Moses. But the amazing thing is that when you look at Paul's words, and again, the amount of times when the word gentle and gentleness appear in his writings, I think you see a very different picture of him. Not just the frequency of the word, but the significance that the way he wanted people to perceive his gospel ministry was in terms of these words like gentleness. You see, this is where we see 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the apostle to the Corinthians. I, Paul myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And we could go on. He's talking to Timothy later. First Timothy chapter 6. He tells Timothy, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. That's things like the love of money and so on. But rather pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. talking to Timothy again in the next, in the very next book, in chapter 2, he tells him as he conducts his ministry, verse 24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance. You'll notice that in both lists, in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus, the office of deacon and elder, gentleness is one of the qualities that's listed. And then we have that astonishing passage we read from 1 Thessalonians, where the Apostle Paul says, right, I mean, you think about that gentleness being a sissy virtue. The Apostle Paul says that the gospel has so been so driven into my heart that the gospel has made me a spiritual mother to others, to nurture them gently like a mama takes care of a little baby. That's the way he describes, the way he conducts the gospel ministry. Again, as a father, yes, firmness. That firmness poured out in gentleness. So the first thing we've seen, the fruit of gentleness is a mark of real spiritual strength. It's the way that the Bible lays it before us. The second thing we have to see is this, that the fruit of gentleness is a mark of real spiritual progress. Let me sharpen it. This question, are you progressing in gentleness? If you're not, you're not progressing properly as a Christian. That's, I think, what inevitable implication of Galatians 5:22 and 23, but also what the Apostle Paul says and Moses as well. But you see, this is the very opposite of what we're taught, even in the Christian world today. What does the Christian world teach? I mean, even Reformed done. That you've got to be assertive. You've got to have an aura of strength. You've got to have an aura of, you know, I've got it all together. You've got to have an authority and dominance. But the danger, of course, is this, that it may appear like a person who is assertive, who is strong, who is dominant, that they're progressing as a Christian. But this says, if you're lacking growth in gentleness, you're not progressing. Have I progressed in this quality? Am I seeking it? Now, that gives rise to another question, doesn't it? It's this. How do I know I'm making progress? When you read Paul, and I encourage you to do it, don't just take my word for it. You get your concordance out and you look up the references. Meekness, gentleness. You see the context in which those words are occurring. And you see very clearly when you look through that, you'll see that the places where gentleness is needed is this. The New Testament says that gentleness is especially called for in the midst of conflict, in the midst of controversy, in the midst of confrontation. That's particularly why leaders are expected to have it, right? Because that's what they're going to be doing quite a lot of the time. But the New Testament says this, how do I respond in conflict, in controversy, in confrontation, either in a situation of conflict with other people or people have conflict with me for some reason? How do I respond to that conflict? How I do it unveils to me and to others how I'm doing spiritually. If I'm progressing. And I think this is where we have to be really honest with ourselves, but also have proper desires. If we've not done so well, we have to confess that. Repent it. But then also, you have desires that Lord, you would put this in me, because you want this to be in me. You want this to be in your people. That yes, we're firm. Yes, we love the truth. Yes, we hold on to the truth. But there's a sense of this fruit of gentleness. Now, of course, it's very, very easy to be gentle when everything's plain sailing. But when you're being victimized by another Christian, or you're being badly used by one, Right? And you've got your old wounds yourself, and you've got some of the poison left in those wounds. You know, everything starts flowing out when those things are happening, right? So that's the place where you have to ask yourself, in conflict, in controversy, in confrontation, am I able to be gentle? Am I able to exhibit this fruit of gentleness? You see, when somebody sits cross-grained against me, am I able to be gentle? And if you read Paul, that is definitely what is expected of one who has been brought, right, the Spirit indwelling them. You think about it. How do I handle someone who's messing around with false doctrine? We just read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the whole of 1 Timothy. How do I handle someone who's messing around with false doctrine? You handle them with firmness as a servant of the truth and with gentleness. That's what the text says. How do I handle someone who's caught in any sin? Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. You restore such a one with the spirit of gentleness. And we could go on. We could actually do a study through the whole of the Corinthian letters and see the same thing. Paul, firm. And yet gentle. Appealing with them. Pleading with them. Begging with them. How do you see? See the point? When you're in conflict or in controversy or in confrontation, we have to make sure that our response is not the mirror image of their response. Because we can become, right, we can match somebody with ungodly shouting and a lack of restraint because really, fundamentally, we don't have enough security in the Lord Jesus Christ or security in the sovereignty of God. We had security in those things. We could respond with strength. You see, firmness shot through with gentleness. I think the point is this. In Paul, it's important. This is important. It's not just Paul, but the whole Bible. Gentleness is important because gentleness is an expression of the gospel. We respond this way because God has been this way with you and me. God has shown towards us his glorious strength wedded with marvelous gentleness. And this is it. The gentle soul is one who reposes in God, whose gentleness makes us great. Do you know that verse? It's a marvelous verse. Psalm 18, verse 35 says this. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me. Now listen to this. And your gentleness made me great. Your gentleness made me great. That's what God does. That's what God shows to us. Now the last thing, the third point. Just the fruit of gentleness is a mark of real spiritual strength. The fruit of gentleness is a mark of real spiritual progress. But thirdly, the fruit of gentleness is a mark of real Christ-likeness. There are only two individuals in the Bible. Let me rephrase that. As far as I know, there are only two individuals in the Bible described as gentle. And only one of those say verbally, I am gentle. The other seems to be said about him. It's Numbers 12, isn't it? Moses was the first. But of course, that statement is a contemporaneous statement because he was not the meekest man ever. He was the meekest man in his generation. Now, have you ever wondered about that text, right? I mean, it's kind of getting close to that, that book I wrote, right? Humility and How I Achieved It. But isn't it amazing that the most meek and the most gentle man ever says these words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, since I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, you would never say that our Lord Jesus Christ was a weak man or a spineless man. Ever. But yet he says to us, "Come to me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." My point is, I'm saying it again and again and again, right? That strength and gentleness are not opposites. Not biblically. Strength and gentleness are two essential parts of a spirit-filled person. We know that because we see it in our Lord Jesus, and we see it in those that he has put before us, that his spirit has worked in, that they are leaders, yes, they're firm, yes, they're servants of the truth, yes, but there's a gentleness about them. And beloved, don't we know this, that our Lord Jesus Christ, just like those folks lining up to see Moses, far more than that in our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I know that you and I can go to our Lord Jesus Christ and we can unburden our souls to him, and we can do that and know we're safe and know that we'll receive wisdom and counsel and grace from him. Now, last question. How does Jesus enable us to progress in gentleness? There's two ways. He does both simultaneously. He does it by his word and he does it by his hand. Remember, God's word is always that spoon or that fork that we use to feed ourselves with the grace and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the word that God uses to soften the hardness of our natural hearts and the nature of our lives. Now, what do I mean? Let me try to use an illustration. I had a friend, this is many moons ago. We were runners, and he got an injury on one of his muscles, and he had to have surgery on his muscle. But the thing wasn't healing up properly. So he went to a PT or a wounds specialist, and she said, she prescribed two things: oil and rubbing. Ointment and rubbing. Didn't really matter what the ointment was, but ointment and rubbing, and that's what it was. He just rubbed this stuff on, and he had to do it for so many times a day. He'd take the ointment, put it onto the wound, and rub. And here's what happened. Rubbing, the friction, and the oil, the wound was healed. It cured over time. It had taken ages and ages to get this thing sorted out. But as this process unfolded, rubbing and the gentleness of the oil, his wound covered, healed, went away. Now the point is this. God uses oil, right? His word. And he uses friction, rubbing, his hands, the events in your life. And he rubs and he takes the word of God and rubs that in to you. And you need both of those things, and you need prayer, right? Sanctify to me my deepest distress. These things are unfolding in my life. Lord, you sanctify them to me. And as you read the word, and as you ask Jesus to use his word to rub in strength and gentleness, that's how you progress in this grace. These thoughts from the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, Thank you, Lord, that you come to us in the way that you do. Thank you that you deal with us graciously and gently. Thank you for your patience. We pray that, Lord, you would work your graces in our lives, that we may show forth the wonders of the gospel in these lives of ours. Hear this prayer of ours, we ask. Bless your word to our understanding. Help us to hide it in our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books.